accession number 9753, reel 5.
Mr. Maurice Greenwood, reel 5. Did you have any other duties other than this taking of the firing programmes round?
Oh, yes. We had one special gun just outside the pond. We had what we call a sugar refinery, which had been hit with a lot of shells. And they'd laid a train line up this road from the pond towards the front line, and they'd brought an engine and a special cannon, which are called a long tom, because it had a right long nozzle, and they used to use it for firing for long distances, according to what we'd got on messages from the observers and the RAF. Now then, when this, I think it happened in 1918, about March.
During the German attack?
Yeah. And the colonel said to me, he said, you'll have to go up to that gun and see it there, damage it. We can't get it back because the line's all broken up.
The railway line?
Yes. So I went up there and I couldn't go up on the bike because there were so many wounded coming down from the line, and I thought, well, I'll walk up on the railway, what's left of it. So I walked up on the railway, and there were a railway carriage, some railway carriages, and I saw a shell come along and go right through one of the carriage doors. Yeah. Anyway, I gets to the gun, but there's no one there. They're all absconding. And the gunners, I think, the time were up for them. And I wondered if they'd damaged the gun so that Jerry's couldn't use it, you see. Well, I couldn't make a lot of, I didn't know the construction of the gun or what should be taken off it. But anyway, there came that many shells, I thought, odd, but they get out of the way as well. Gun crew had gone before I got there. And I came back and told the colonel, and he said, oh, well, it's hopeless. He says, I think we'd better go back. We'd better retreat. So I said, well, I said, we can go to Ashley Grand, there'll be Agnes or somewhere like that. I said, but I don't think we'll be safe there. He says, no, he says, I think we better make down towards Doolong's. So I thought, well, if they're making towards Doolong's, I'll go on my own. And I'll be there before them.
What had happened to the rest of the battery, besides this one gun?
They lost them.
So it was a chaotic situation.
Yeah.
What about the rest of the headquarters staff, besides the colonel?
Well, the headquarters staff had moved away from Biagnes, because from Croisselles down from St. Judas's farm, they all moved away, and they'd moved away and left Harris-Bapome Road bare. There were no horses or mules, they'd taken all them. So I comes back to Achille Grand, And I thought, well, I'll cross the railway line here. So as I was going across, I just heard such a great big bang. And it was behind me. And it shot me in my back right forward in the pressure of the shell bursting. And then I thought, well, I'll make my way down to Doolan, see if I can find the rest of the tribe. And on my way down to the Doolans, I thought, well, we'll be all right at Doolans, but it was dark. And as I was going into Doolans, they were even shelling Doolans. Because I had to stop and shelter. And that was what happened then. So I said to Colonel, I said, if I were in the Air Force, I said, I'd give them what for. And next day sent me to London.
Well, he did, the Colonel.
The Strand.
Before we just get on to that, when you were actually during normal trench routine, before the retreat, you know, when you were actually with the unit and then they were in the line and such like, can I get this straight? You used to link between everyone. Would you ever link forward to the observation posts, or would that be done by...
The only time I went to observation posts, which were run by the RAF, were when I were a dispatch rider. That was the only time I went to the observation posts. And then we had our own observers as well, who used to go into certain positions checking the line of troops.
Would you link with those? Was that part of your job?
Oh, yes.
What, you collect reports from them on your bike? How did the bike suit the sort of ground you were going across?
Well, it were a Triumph bike, and it were a good bike with a Triumph.
You didn't have a sidecar?
You wouldn't. If you had a good Triumph bike, you were all right.
Would you have to maintain it yourself?
Yes.
Did it give much problem?
No. No. I used to have one man come, and I says, I'll put castor oil in the tank. Oh, he says, have you? So I stuck his finger in the tank and got this castor oil on, and then he put it in his mouth. I said, it's pure castor oil. Of course, you could get pure castor oil then for lubricants, certain lubricants.
Was there any reason you'd chosen that, or was you just...
Well, we used to use castor oil in racing bikes at home. Castor oil, they called it. And it had a funny smell from the exhaust. You don't get that smell today. No. And castor oil itself is like rather a thick body. And it makes its presence felt on the piston as the piston goes up and down in the cylinder. It like retains more lubricant if it's driven hard.
Would other dispatch riders use castor oil as
I don't know. I didn't bother about that.
Did you ask for it specially, though?
No, I just got it.
Where did you get
from
it?
From somewhere.
What other
out of the stores, I think.
What other jobs did you have as dispatch rider?
Well, silly jobs.
Such as?
Well, the adjutant would say, I want you to take a lot of for me down to the stores. That might be about 3 mile away. And he'd give it me and I'd take it. So I said to the fella in the stores, I says, what's he on about, the adjutant? Oh, he says he only wants some whisky. He says, I'll have to send him some whisky.
So you'd act as a sort of errand boy as well. Were there any other dispatch riders with the battery? The brigade, rather?
Well, there were dispatch riders in the Royal Engineers who...
But in the 56th?
Who kept to themselves, I think. Right? Well,
were there any other dispatch riders in the 56th?
Oh, there were lots of dispatch riders. They had blue and white bands on their arms. Round here.
How many of you were there?
Of me?
How many dispatch riders were there with the 56th?
What, 56 heavy artillery? They're only me. I said, where's the other one? Oh, he's been killed.
Would you often be under fire as you were going about?
Yeah, they're always firing, lobbing odd shots about, odd shell. I once went with some messages to a machine gun corps. A machine gun corps. And he said, don't be walking about round here. He said, oh, so you'll get pipped off. He says, you have to get down behind the ground. And I couldn't get my bike near position, so I had to leg it.
Would you be nervous when you were under fire?
No, you don't bother. You go behind an old stump of a tree, out of way.
Did you enjoy your work as a dispatch rider?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I'd enjoy it.
Were you billeted at the headquarters?
Had my own dugout. Had a dugout of my own.
What would you have in there?
And I had a telephone in there. When it were in use. I'm just going to the same place today. I've been.
So what else would you have in the dugout besides your telephone?
Nothing, only my kit.
How big would it be?
What?
The dugout.
I think it was one that Germans had made. It were a good one.
And you were in there on your own?
Yeah.
You said that after the retreat, or during the retreat, you applied for a transfer. Did you apply, or were you recommended?
No, just asked the colonel.
What made you want to join the RAF?
I said they wanted some pilots. I said the shorter pilots, they want some to go to Berlin.
It was that that attracted you to it, was it?
No, it attracted me as a pilot of a single plane, where you could do manoeuvring and spotting and reconnoitering the areas of enemy land. What we call enemy land.
And that's what you fancied?
Yeah.
Had you had enough of being a dispatch rider, or was it just to seem better?
No, it were a change.
So, you asked your colonel, and what happened then?
Well, next day we were in London.
Did they test your eyesight or anything?
Oh, there's a lot of palaver, my words. Don't you mention it. It did. They had me pulling strings like that
with both hands.
Yes. What about objects about 7 or 8 yards away, bringing them level and testing your eyes?
Where was this testing done?
In London. And your nose.
They test about your nose.
Well, they cut a bone out of my nose.
What was that for?
I don't know. It was called a septum. And he were a Yankee doctor. So I says, what are you doing that for? He says, you'll breathe better if you're falling. He says, supposing you're falling in the plane and you can't get your breath. That's what it's for.
So it was to ease a possible breathing difficulty. Where were you? You say you went back to England, to London. Whereabouts in London were you based?
What's it called? Airwood Avenue, back of London. Fitzjohn's Avenue.
Hampstead then.
Hampstead.
Were you actually billeted there?
Or put in there on a wood bed. In a bedroom in a big house. And then I got a kind of a mattress to sleep on. And I got acquainted with one of the old pilots that had been a deep breeze and been shot down. And been in the fire as well. You could see it on his face.
He'd been burned.
Yeah. And they eventually wouldn't pass me as a pilot.
Did he give you any advice, that chap?
Yes.
What did he say?
Oh, I don't like to say what he said.
That's all right.
No. He were a good sort. And they wouldn't pass me as a pilot, so they passed me as an observer.
What sort of training had you had as a pilot? Can you remember what training you had before the test?
Didn't have a training as a pilot.
Oh, so why were you failed as a pilot?
On account of my eyes. They said I'd one eye, it weren't right. And it'd be bad for landing if you're on your own. So they passed me as an observer. When they passed me as an observer, I had to go to Bath, and learn Morse and photography and officer's training. And I had to wear a white band around my hat to show that I was a cadet.
So you became an officer's cadet at this point. About what month was this?
Oh, we're getting August and September.
So you'd gone, originally you'd come to Hampstead in round about April.
Yeah.
And now it had taken all this while to sort these various things out. Can you tell me something else about you, some more about your training at Bath? You mentioned Morse. How did they train you in that?
Well, they had schools training flyers and observers, and we had a lot of Rhodesians then, that had come from Rhodesia to be trained as flyers and observers, young men, fine body of men. And I were trained with those. I used to go to Morse classes and listen to Morse and write it down in letters. And we had officers' training as well.
What did that involve?
Oh, they'd take you out 12 miles in a wagon and dump you down and say, well, run home now. That was what they got.
How did you do at that sort of test?
Oh, I did very well. We had to go and put our feet in cold water when we arrived back at the billet.
Well, you were trained as an observer. Were you trained in photography or map reading?
Oh, yes. All lot.
How was it? What was the photography?
Hills. Army textbook here. Somewhere. If I can find it.
And what sort of things did you learn?
Oh, I learned everything. Officer's duty, night watch. Everything connected with an officer.
How did they teach you photography?
Well, they showed us the cameras and the method of using the camera.
Did you actually get to try them out in the air?
And shows it how it was fitted in a plane to take snaps of the area
bit by bit.
Yeah. And you had to piece these together, and you had to get out of mountains as well, and bridges and churches if there were any. And all that to learn.
What about map reading?
Well, map reading came into the course as well, because you had military maps in squares. They were.
Did they teach you how to shoot to shoot with a machine gun? Machine gunning. Did they teach you that?
No. Funny part about that was it was last thing you had to learn, on machine gunning, and that was taught in a place near Brighton. And it were a town with four letters. I just forget the name.
Hove,
that was it.
Hove.
Because on November 11th, 1918, I were on Borth Station at 11 o'clock. And peace was signed at 11 o'clock. So I made no more ado, but I thought, well, I'm going home if peace is signed. So I got on next train for Manchester and went home.
Now that's without leave.
That's without leave.
No permission.
That's without leave.
How long did you stay in Todmorden?
Oh, I just stayed about a week.
Did they come and fetch you?
No. Why should they? They knew I'd come back. And when I came back to Fitzjohn's Avenue...
That's back to London.
Yeah. They sent me to Regent's Park, to the Cadets Club in Regent's Park.
So there was no... you weren't disciplined for going out from that
league? No, no. Those days are gone. And this club were run by titled ladies in Regent's Park. I don't know whether it was some big commander in the Navy's house or not. And these ladies took us out up the river to go punting and playing tennis. And I was 6 months in London.
So you although you were still in the RAF,
yeah,
you
were still in the RAF.
When were you demobilised then?
I should think it would be about March or April.
1919.
Yeah.
What did you do when you were demobilised? Did you go back to your father's business?
Yes, I did.
And it had carried on all right during the war.
Yes. In a poor way, but I also had an idea about being a wholesale tobacconist, which was a trade that were running in those days, selling to shops and shops selling it retail, and wholesale chocolates as well, Cadbury's, Fries, Roundtree's, and I even got Swiss chocolates.
So you started your own business as well?
In Nestor's, and Toblerone.
How did this business go? Were you successful with it?
Oh yes, it went lovely. Yeah.
You carried on your interest in motorbiking though, I believe.
Oh yeah.
Now earlier in the interview, just to skip a few years, you said that when the Second World War broke out, you were in Munich. We'd be quite interested to hear what you recollect about that trip, because just of the atmosphere.
Well,
why had you gone over to Munich to start with?
Why I went over to Munich was because the ISDT.
What does that stand
that's
for?
That's the International 6 Days Trial. It's another word in German. And I had a friend who rode from I don't know whether the Isle of somewhere outside Canada. He rode his motorbike and sidecar right across to the Pacific in snowy conditions. And he had a wife in Douglas. She was a premier at dancing school in Douglas, and she had a sister. Now then, this man were going on in this event with an aerial motorbike and a sidecar. Would I come to Munich or to Salzburg and bring his wife and his wife's sister and meet him in Salzburg? So I went through Belgium and Germany.
What month was this that you set
up? It'll be about when August it started.
September 1939, the war started.
Oh yes. It'd be September.
So you set off very...
Yeah, set off. And in Munich, I thought, there's lots of searchlights going around here.
Hadn't you thought that war was approaching?
Me? No, I never bother about it.
So you say you saw the searchlights?
Yes. And I thought, well, that's funny. Is there something wrong? Oh, and we got to Dachau, you know, where they put Jews, and somebody said the war had started, Germans had gone into Poland, or were on the way to Poland. So I thought, oh, that's done it, and I'm not in Salzburg, so I can't see my friend with his wives.
What transport were you in? Were you in a car or had you?
Yeah, I was in a car. Alvis car. And I thought, well, I'll make for Salzburg. Well, I went to the hotel where he'd been staying. And he says, oh, he says, all the British competitors have gone. They'd left. Austria. Some had gone via Switzerland and some had gone another way. And we couldn't get petrol then. They'd locked petrol pumps. So to go to the police to get petrol. And they'd only give me enough to get as far as Innsbruck.
With war having broke out or about to break out, was there any bad feeling towards you as English?
Oh yeah. They used to spit at us.
Who would spit at generally? Or was that
Germans?
It was common reaction.
Yeah,
wasn't
it? Even I took my GB plate off as well.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I thought it's usual thing. But I wanted to make for Switzerland. The whole of here in Switzerland will be safe.